All right. Well, good morning and happy Sunday, church. My name is Gabrielle Coleman, and I'm the pastoral intern here at First United Methodist, where we are brave enough to give a microphone to a college kid. I'm really excited to be speaking to all of you today. We're still going to be continuing the sermon series on Jesus Season 1. So we've been talking a lot about pop culture this sermon series, and I really can't count how many times I've seen a movie or a TV show where everything just boiled down to, oh, it's the power of love. It's the power of friendship. And that's all that matters. And it's really cheesy and everyone groans, but you know, it's cute. It's sweet. It's become just this really powerful trope, but it's still just a trope. The Bible was really ahead of its time on this, guys. Like, they really got ahead of it, but there's something more to the Bible when it comes to this. Because when I think of the power of love in the Bible, I'm not thinking of a TV series, I'm not thinking of a movie, I'm not thinking of My Little Pony or like the four classic rock songs called The Power of Love. But it's different. And what is so different about Christian love? What is so miraculous about Jesus that this cliche is something that radically transforms our world? And how are we called to be transformed by this power? Let's take a look at Mark 1:40 through 1:44. A man with leprosy came to him and begged on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." So at this point in history, someone with leprosy was legally required to announce themselves as unclean. If you were someone with leprosy, you were bound to separate yourself from society, and you had to warn people verbally about your presence. I have a fiance. His name is Jacob. We've been together several years through, you know, sickness and health. And over those years, I've gotten to know his family, and they have this tradition where every time someone is sick, they'll go, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." You know, and whoever it is that's sick, you know, they'll get whatever they need, or they're just going to go back to their room. Because no one wants that, and no one needs that. But that's how it was for them. You had to go up to someone. You had to say, "Unclean, stay away." You were physically othered, and you were required to other yourself from society. But that's not what happens in this verse. Here we see someone who is recognizing the powerful presence of Jesus. And he doesn't say, "Jesus, can you heal me?" He says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean. If you choose to, you can make a radical change in my life." We've been talking a lot in this sermon series about seeing Jesus as if for the first time. And here we are. This is someone who is meeting Jesus for the first time. And he is so emboldened by the presence of Jesus that he is willing to break the law. He doesn't run away. He doesn't separate himself physically or verbally. He approaches Jesus and begs on his knees, knowing that Jesus can see he's a leper. And he breaks the law to ask Jesus for compassion. And Jesus says, "I am willing." So this is illegal. You're not allowed to approach someone if you have leprosy, but it's also illegal to interact with a leper if you are someone who is clean. The leper takes the first step in approaching Jesus, but we also see Jesus reach out and touch the leper. He puts his hand on this man, and he intentionally chooses compassion. So like I said, over the course of the series, we're trying to look with fresh eyes. We're trying to look at verses we may have heard before, and this is probably not a new story to majority of you. I heard this story a lot growing up, but I was taught these verses as a very, very simple feel-good story. Just a story of casual, passive miracles. Like, oh, Jesus could, so he did. And that's great. But this isn't that kind of story. This is a story that teaches us the necessity of stepping out of our comfort zone. And this is the answer. This is what sets apart Christian compassion, a willingness to go where others won't. Because Christian compassion doesn't just change our heart. When we show that we have that love for our neighbors, those that need compassion and help feel emboldened to reach out to us. They will see us and say, this is a safe person for me to come to. They will know us by our love. And Christianity's boundless love for the world transforms everyone in it. And it's going to give us the bravery to both seek out kindness ourselves and to pour it out freely. So let's turn to Mark 1:45. Instead, he began to went out and began to speak freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people came to him from everywhere. For this act of compassion, Jesus faced isolation. He stayed in lonely places. He broke the law. He risked his ministry, and he was pushed in the margins, all for who was considered the lowliest of the low at this time. He chose to touch the untouchable, even though it meant risking everything. And it did cost everything. He became an outcast, but people came to him. His choice to heal the leper and engage with, who again, society seemed the lowest of the low, showed everyone who Jesus is. This is a savior who meets us where we are with love, not a savior who came for political power and glory. And for this, people saw that and they flocked to him. Michael Judge, a Franciscan friar, he lived this call to compassion. He intentionally sought out the homeless, the hungry, the sick. He was well known for going to hospitals where people were dying from AIDS, and he would wash their feet and kiss their foreheads. He worked with firemen, and during 9/11, he put himself in the line of fire, not to fight the fire, not to, you know, do anything. He wasn't EMS. He went into the line of fire to pray over people and to offer comfort and compassion. He was eventually documented as the first casualty of 9/11. And even though he wasn't a fireman or a soldier or a fighter, he touched people's lives through just that compassion. And when he passed and they held his funeral, 3,000 people showed up. He touched 3,000 souls, probably more, because of his incredible compassion alone. And this is the impact we can make when we have God's heart for people. So I'm asking y'all today, what are we willing to risk to show the compassion and love of Jesus Christ, who met us where we are? As followers of Jesus, we are called to follow him into the margins, just as he followed the leper. And when we take these risks in loving our neighbor, we gain siblings. We gain a family in Christ. So when I was in high school, I had tics. So I would, you know, like I would snap my fingers. I couldn't really help it. Or I would like twitch. Or it was kind of, you know, y'all know. But but I would often have to leave worship. Or I was asked to sit in the back. Or I had to sit in the back. Because I was told that I was a distraction. And I had a really good group of friends that would join me in the back, which was really great. But once we were older, we were seniors, you know, you got to sit in the front. You got to be role models. You got to get hyped, you know. And my friends were super energetic. They were super popular, you know, like homecoming king. They were supposed to be in the front and be role models. And a worship leader told them, hey, you can't sit in the back. You got to sit in the front. And they said, hey, well, my friend can't sit in the front. They're like, well, you can just leave your friend there. You got to go sit in the front. And my now fiance told her that staying with a friend is the role model. That's how you model Christianity. And, you know, I know the impact that had on me. You know, for one, it made me want to marry him. But, I mean, think about high school and popularity and cliques. We've all been there. We've all been to high school. Even my friends that are homeschooled know this. But as a high schooler, he looked past the disapproval of church leaders. He looked past the disapproval of his peers because he knew that showing love and compassion is the greatest commandment. And by the grace of God, I'm not sitting in the back of worship anymore. I'm up here. because of that Christian love and compassion. So what I want to ask y'all is, whose life can you touch this week? How can we show the compassion of our God that is so freely given to us? I ask you to pour out the love that we are called to, and to do so as intentionally and bravely as Jesus did for the leper. Let us pray. Merciful and powerful God, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for being able to witness our generosity as a church. And we thank you for each other. We thank you for our neighbors and for our brothers and sisters in Christ. You risked everything for us, even when we don't deserve it, and we know you always will. Please help us to follow in your example and pour out love freely and change our hearts for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus is the one who shows us what it means to be compassionate. The one who goes to the back and reminds those who are ignored and forgotten that they too are a blessing. Come thou fount of every blessing. That includes you, and 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 you. Because that is the God who we worship, that reminds each and every one of us that we are a blessing, not just someone who needs to be saved, but those who participate in that work of restoration and resurrection, which is why Jesus, who is compassionate, doesn't just go and heal, but says, now let us go and heal others. Because you are a part of the ministry. You are a part of the ministry. So may we go as people who have been remembered, who have been recognized, and go and remember and recognize others. And may we go in peace. Amen.